But right now, with training camp upon us, let's talk to our old friend, Jeff Zrebeck, Ravens beat writer for the Baltimore Sun. And Jay-Z, can you believe that some players are reporting as we speak and tomorrow, and they're going to be practicing by week's end?
It's come quick, man.
It really has.
It always does. But, you know, I thought this offseason would linger a little bit, especially since it started much earlier than most people that have covered the Ravens and been on the Ravens are used to. So, you know, it's come real quick, but it's time, you know, and when you're starting to write about or blog about videos of some guy's exploits in a YouTube video and, you know, undrafted free agents, it's probably time to start watching some practice and start summing up some of the roster competitions.
And once we get to this point, believe it or not, it does come quick. They'll be playing preseason games in just a few weeks. And then there is some monotony there, certainly. But then, before you know it, the games will start to count.
Yeah, but it's just good to see, you know, I guess Buck Showalter uses the expression, it's not probably politically correct, but when the bullets go live, you know, you want to see these guys in certain game situations, and not just even in some of the mini camps, it wasn't full speed, people were still, you know, not all in pads. John Harbaugh is talking about making this a real physical, demanding training camp. That's what his goal is. He wants to get back to this rough, tough, disciplined football team that defined the Ravens that they got away from last year, partly by necessity. So I think this is certainly going to be a heated training camp. There's a lot of competition battles. There's a lot of people looking, you know, veterans who have chips on their shoulder, looking to keep their roster spots, or veterans looking to come in and make an impact, and a lot of rookies who know they need big training camps to make it on this team. I think we're definitely going to see some interesting workouts, some interesting practices. I think there'll be some scuffling. I think there's going to be a lot of give and take between, you know, the offense and defense. And it's not going to be so one-sided it's been in the past. I'm really looking forward to it.
And, Jeff, what do you see as the biggest position battle as we get ready for training camp?
Biggest position battle? I think we're not talking about starting, Brett. If we're just talking about overall, I mean, the receiver position, they're pretty loaded, you know, and you look at it and there's just not a whole lot of room for anybody else. When you look at Torrey Smith, Steve Smith, Jacoby Jones, Marlon Brown, you know, and then you have a guy like, you know, Michael Campanaro, the local kid who, you know, the Ravens don't trade draft picks, and they traded one to, you know, move back in the seventh round because they identified this kid as the type of slot receiver they've lacked. So that, you know, basically tells you that he has a real good chance if he's healthy making the team. So where does that leave? Room for one, maybe two? They really like Butler and Davis, a couple of their undrafted free agents there. Don't forget about Deontay Thompson, who seemingly is a star every year around training camp. Laquan Williams is a guy that they're giving another chance to, well-known around these parts, and has also had several good preseasons, and he's a good special teams player. So I think when you're just looking at sheer numbers, you know, that's the most interesting thing as far as the competitions. If you're looking at a starting spot, I think the weak side linebacker, Mosley versus Arthur Brown, second-round pick last year versus first-round pick this year, I think that's probably the sexiest competition battle. You know, I expect Mosley, I think Mosley has the edge, but Arthur Brown is really showed, like, it's gotten a little bigger and showed some people something. So I would say that's definitely the probably the most intriguing one to look after as far as the starting spot.
One big thing that hangs over this team right now, and I still can't believe the NFL has not handed down its suspension to Ray Rice, but that kind of looms here. I don't know if it changes anything as to what the Ravens are going to do here. I think everyone feels a suspension's inevitable, and they'll play a certain number of games without Rice, and I'm sure the Ravens have been pondering for a long time how they'll handle that. So nothing will come as a surprise. I'm shocked it hasn't happened yet. But how does that factor into the next few weeks?
Yeah, me too, Brett. I'm, you know, flummoxed that there hasn't been an announcement made. I mean, today was the five-week mark since Rice and his wife, Janae, met with Roger Goodell. I mean, I thought people thought at most it would take maybe 2 weeks because, you know, it's not like he went into that meeting with Ray cold. I mean, Goodell had done his research, talked to his people, and then came out with questions to ask Ray. And here we are 5 weeks later. And meanwhile, the legal matters for the NFL players mount. I mean, you're talking about some big names between Irsay and, you know, Alden Smith and Josh Gordon and, you know, and who's the guy that just recently got in trouble. Greg Hardy from the Panthers. So, yeah, you'd expect there's got to be some ruling soon. I don't think it changes anything immediately, the uncertainty, because as you said, they've been preparing for this. They know Ray Rice is getting suspended. They don't know if it's going to be one or two games or four or five, but they know he's getting suspended. So I don't think it changes stuff. But if we can linger about 2-3 weeks into camp, it's going to change because if they start getting the guys ready that you're gonna have for that crucial three-game stretch to start the season in the AFC North, you're going to have to start divvying up reps accordingly to those guys you need to get ready to play for the first two or three games. And it doesn't look like Ray's going to be one of those guys, but he needs his reps too because when he's active and the suspension's up, you're going to want him to step right in and be a key part of the offense. So from a perspective, the first week, 10 days, maybe not in training camp, but it's going to start mattering, you know, when you move on into training camp. You need to know who you're going to have and who's going to be available for those first couple of weeks.
I have to ask this, Jeff, and I know some fans are sick of it. They honestly, a lot of fans just don't care, and maybe a lot of NFL teams just don't care. They care about one thing, and that's winning and losing on Sundays. But the 5 off-season arrests, and I'm sure this will be a big topic tomorrow with John Harbaugh, Does that matter here at all? Is that relevant right now at all? I think it does overall because I know ownership, and I'm sure the general manager and head coach are not happy with this. I know the team, to their credit, does care about the reputation standing, not only with the league, but in the community. And John Harbaugh had those very stern words before they broke up after the last OTA, and one more player got in trouble. They lead the NFL in off-season arrests, and it's just bad imaging. It's bad marketing.
Yeah.
Do you think that hangs over the head of this team right now?
Yeah, I do. I mean, does it matter come the opener other than the Ray Rice situation? No. I mean, if you look at these incidents individually, the Ray Rice one's obviously serious, so put that one aside. The other one were people showing immature and stupid behavior. In the grand scheme of things, they weren't huge deals, but then you throw them together and you get 5 incidences, and it's a downright embarrassment. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. You could defend it any way you want. Just boys will be boys. No, I mean, that's an embarrassment. You're talking about an organization that preaches character, that preaches getting good guys and doing their due diligence on guys. You know, every organization has a few bad apples.
Sure.
Every organization, you know, this is a big league. A lot of people, there's going to be people getting in trouble, and other organizations have had incidents too. But Steve Bisciotti, remember, John Harbaugh's first charge when he was hired was to help turn around the image of this team. It has gotten out of control. Everyone remembers that game against the Patriots where people were whipping flags and taking personal fouls. That's embarrassing. That was one of the reasons, that was one of the things that Steve Bisciotti wanted John Harbaugh to clean up. They've done a good job of it. But here you go now, and the story of the offseason, from a Ravens perspective, has been these arrests. And they very much care about their brand. So to say it doesn't matter and just dismiss that, I'd like to sit across from Steve Bisciotti and ask him whether he thinks it matters, and I'm sure you'd get an answer that it absolutely does, and they're absolutely embarrassed by it. If they get on the right track, the stuff gets taken care of. I don't think it's going to be a big factor aside from Rice's absence once the season begins, but it absolutely is hanging over their arrival at training camp, and it should. You know, it should.
We completely agree.
They should not be let off the hook with this.
We completely agree. All right, moving on to some roster questions. If you were to bet now, who would be the opening day right tackle, who do you think it is?
I think Rick Wagner, Brett, is a pretty solid lead there. I really do. They did not add a veteran for a reason. They believe in giving their young players a shot. Rick Wagner looks like he's going to get his shot unless he falters in training camp.
Last question as far as his offense is concerned. Well, two things here. I think most fans right now are most excited about not even so much the impact of Gary Kubiak, although I'm sure many fans would say that. To me, I'm most excited to see Steve Smith in a Ravens uniform, even at practice. To me, that's exciting. He's excited. That's obvious through his tweets and some of his interaction over the previous few months. To me, that's one thing. And then the impact of Gary Kubiak and how we even see or discern any differences there.
Yeah, I think, you know, watching Steve Smith, and it's going to be fiery. Sometimes I don't think it's going to be pretty. He's not one to back down from confrontation, but it's going to be fun. And I think he's going to bring a toughness and a professionalism that the Ravens really lacked on offense last year. You know, they have plenty of tough professional guys, if you know what I mean. You know, they really never filled Bolden's void. And Steve Smith fits a lot of his characteristics. As for Kubiak, you know, it's time. You know, I think you saw Joe Flacco was a little more serious in training, in all the mini camps. Joe Flacco's never going to say this is a huge year for me, you know, nor is Ray Rice. But if you look around the offense, there's a lot of people who have stuff to prove after last year. And now they come in with this whole new system. You got a proven coordinator, well-known guy, quarterback NFL, former head coach. And he's implementing an entirely new, you know, system. You know, John Harbaugh does not put, you know, designations on stuff very often. He called this a new start, a new era for the Ravens offense. So he's not downplaying it, so nor should anyone else. I mean, it is really going to be fun to watch, and that's going to loom over everything this offseason. How quickly can they grasp this offense, and how good of a fit is everything about it for their skill position players? And their skill position group's probably the best they've had in years there. Let's be, you know, that's pretty obvious.
That is true. And then finally, Jeff, I have to ask you about the Orioles here, first of three in Anaheim tonight. They're three up right now on the Blue Jays and Yankees in a tightening American League East. I expect it to be very close, no matter who wins this division at the very end. In fact, I see all the divisions essentially maybe outside one being decided by a game or two, maybe three. That's kind of the nature of baseball right now for the better. But right now, do you see the Orioles getting to the finish line 65 games from now as division champs?
I think right now, yes. I think they're the least flawed team in that division. I'm not saying they're a finished product. I think they could use a couple things. God, I think Utley would look great at second base. I know that's not a popular opinion, but you know, what do you do to that lineup? I think he would be a good addition, even though it probably won't happen. But I think they're the least flawed team, and I think, you know, there is something about them. You know, they do win big games. They are very resilient. Once you think they're going to head into a streak, they sort of turn it on. When they head into spiral, they sort of turn it on. But one thing about that, they're not going to be able to depend on the AL East being as downtrodden as it was.
I completely agree.
First half. I
mean, I've been saying that for weeks. Yeah.
You need to win. And, you know, whatever happens on this tough road trip and the stretch through the AL West, it's going to be decided once all the division starts playing each other pretty regularly in August, September. Because, you know, one thing about the AL East, maybe it's not as good as it used to, but there are no easy wins in that division. There's no Minnesota Twins. There's no Houston Astros. Every one of those teams could come to your park and sweep you at any time.
Jeff, you've taken my copy points for the last few weeks. As always, we usually agree on these things. And anyone, yes, it's not the same American League East of the last 20 years. If that's the marker, that's really unfair because that's the best division in pro sports by far every year. So it's a little down. And even statistically, if you look at the winning percentages, they're not the worst right now. They're merely middle of the pack. But anyone who thinks the Red Sox or Rays or even the Yankees or Blue Jays are just going to roll over quietly, there's just too much pride in this division to do that. No one's going to roll over. The Red Sox are going to fight every at-bat. And although the Yankees are extremely flawed, there are a lot of sleeping dogs in that lineup who inevitably, I imagine, Carlos Beltran and Brian McCann are going to get theirs. And, that's a flawed club with no starting pitching right now, but they still have some accomplished players.
Yeah, every team has their own flaws, including the Orioles, but every team also has its you know, some extreme strengths too. I don't know who wants to face the Blue Jays lineup. You know, I don't necessarily think facing Lester and Lackey, that's never going to be a
pick. And Koji in the back end.
Yeah. And Koji in the back end. Yeah. I mean, every one of these teams, and as you said, the Yankees lineup, these guys are several underperforming players, but they also got, you know, some Hall of Fame players in that lineup, and they're going to want to get Jeter to the finish line there. If you don't think that's going to be a source of motivation, then you haven't been paying attention to what Jeter's meant to that city and that team. So there's going to be a lot of emphasis on them to get going. But again, do they have the pitching? So we'll see. But all those teams have their own strengths, and they're all tough out. There's not one team that's going to roll over and, you know, you're going to get three for easy wins. This isn't Houston, as I said. This isn't Minnesota, Chicago, White Sox. There's some good teams in this division. They may be flawed, but they can beat you still.
I completely agree with you. Jeff Zurebeck, Ravens beat writer for the Sun, former Orioles beat writer for the Sun. Jay-Z, always a pleasure.
Enjoy it, Brett. Take care. Have a good night.